We're just going to think for a few minutes about that reading that we had from Luke. Luke was very fond about talking about people who were on the margins, people who were who not accepted by normal society, people who were looked down on by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those that thought they were better than everyone else. So you'll see quite often stories about women, stories about Samaritans, and people from other countries in Luke's Gospel. And so really, to understand what's going on in our story this morning, we need to understand a little bit about the culture of the people at that time. Firstly, leprosy was seen as a terrible thing. It was not just seen as an illness, a disease, but it was seen as a punishment for sin, indicating God's displeasure with that individual. Consequently, those suffering from this disease were not allowed to live with their families, or indeed within the limits of the towns or villages. They could not conduct their business or go to work, socialise, or even attend worship. Those suffering from leprosy tended to gather together in colonies, living outside the normal villages and towns. They were regarded as unclean and had to announce themselves as such when they encountered other people. Suffering from leprosy was so much more than just being ill. And whatever your standing was in society before you had the disease, once you became a leper, you lost everything, whether that was a great deal or very little, and were treated the same as any other leper. Separation from the population to us may seem like quarantine to prevent the disease spreading to family members or others, a bit like we quarantine for COVID. But it was more than that, because leprosy was seen as this mark of God's displeasure and a punishment for sin. The sufferer was judged to be a sinner, unclean, and others would not be able to make contact with them for fear that God's displeasure would be visited on them as well, or that they could become contaminated by the sin that this person had committed. And leprosy was a wide term, applied to all kinds of skin conditions, some of which would heal in time. Those believing their leprosy was cured were required to show themselves to the priest, who could confirm whether the condition was healed and allow the individual to return to normal society, or require them to continue their isolation for a further period until they were satisfied that the person was healed. The group of 10 men who came to seek Jesus were mostly Jews, but there was one Samaritan amongst their number. In normal society, Jews did not mix with Samaritans, who they regarded as inferior. Samaritans were also descendants of Abraham and Israel, but when war came and the northern kingdom fell, these Israelites intermarried with other local people. Whilst many continued to follow the traditions and the religion as before, their claim to be part of the nation chosen by God was rejected by the Jews, who had not intermarried and remained a pure race. They looked down on the Samaritans as a race who had been unfaithful to the covenant. Samaritans were seen as unclean and avoided by most Jews. Samaritans, for their part, were offended that Jews wouldn't accept them, wouldn't recognise their claim to be part of the chosen people, and looked down on them. And consequently, they avoided the Jews. So the fact that this little group of lepers had ignored the usual conventions and accepted a Samaritan as part of their number showed that they each realised they suffered the same fate. And this suffering formed a stronger bond than any previously held prejudice. They were all in the same boat. They understood each other's predicament. They partnered together to seek help and to seek the help of Jesus. One commenter, Matthew Henry, said, "Jesus, who came to take away sin and turn away wrath, took particular care to cleanse the lepers that fell in his way." Maybe they'd heard that Jesus had healed other lepers and thought he might look kindly on them. But they came to meet him on his journey from Galilee to Jerusalem on the edge of a village Jesus was about to enter. And verse 12 tells us, they stood a distance from Jesus and called out to him in a loud voice, indicating they were observing the social distancing that was placed on them. They called and pleaded their cause. "Have mercy," they shouted. This humble approach recognises their sin. They do not march up to Jesus and demand healing. They stand their distance. "Have mercy." Is this an attitude that we have when we come to confess our sins to Jesus? "Lord, have mercy, sinner that I am." Lepers who were cured needed the priest's declaration that they were clean in order to re-enter society. Jesus is observing Mosaic law by sending them to the priest. But they were not healed. At the time he sends them, they still had leprosy. They don't seem to question this, but set off in obedience to his instruction. This shows great faith in his words. And it's this faith that heals them as they journey. They are all healed. When we pray, asking Jesus in his mercy to help us, let us be aware of this story. Sometimes Jesus may require us to make some effort in order to receive an answer. It is only in undertaking the task in obedience that our answer comes. For this group of lepers, the answer came. The healing was complete as they journeyed to the priest, just as Jesus had told them. 10 were healed, and yet only one felt the need to return to Jesus to thank him and praise the Lord for his healing. This is not a story about remembering our manners, but one which cautions us not to take our blessings for granted, not to assume that the answer to our prayers comes as a result of our own effort, not to forget how much we owe God for our healing, for our forgiveness, for those answers to prayer. It is a story which tells us not to look upon our answers as though it's nothing to God. It is not. It cost his son in order to pay our debts. A sacrifice willingly made out of love. We have a table spread before us, an act of remembering how much it cost for our salvation. An act of remembrance of what Jesus sacrificed for us to be forgiven. When we meet around this table, are we a thankful people? A people who come for praise, with praise, for the amazing love that has made us whole? Of the group, only one returned. What of the others, Jesus asks? Did they feel no need to give thanks? Did they not want to praise God for their healing? We don't know for sure what lay behind the others continuing on their way and only this one person returning to give thanks. But there was a reward for this faithful follower for returning to give thanks. We didn't read the next verse in our reading this morning, but if we were to go on, it said, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Jesus is probably saying that although 10 have experienced the blessing of healing, only one has faith and has turned to establish ties with Jesus that indicate the presence of salvation. The deliverance Jesus affirms here is greater than healing the man has experienced. He has learned everything the miracle can teach him. Faith and salvation merge together. His sins are forgiven. He had received more than healing. He had received salvation. This story teaches us that Jesus answers our prayers in different ways, unexpected ways even, but that sometimes some effort on our part is needed before the answer is seen. Regardless of how our answer comes, our response should always be to return to God and give thanks and praise for his blessing, for his healing, and for his forgiveness. The story teaches us about obedience and faith, which is needed in order to see answers to our prayers. But that God desires our healing to be total, for us to be made more than whole, which is more about our salvation and finding forgiveness than it is about healing our bodies. And finally, the story teaches us about the response we give to answered prayers is important to God. Are our hearts full of thanksgiving and praise for all that God has done for us? Do we pray in faith for God to act, or do we then neglect to thank him when he does? Do we carry on dutifully in our tasks and forget to stop and thank God for his blessings on our journey? Do we take for granted all those daily blessings that God sprinkles over us? Are we numbered with those who did not return to give thanks? Or are we that unusual exception among the few who recognize God's hand at work and pause to praise and thank him for answers to our prayers? Amen. I'm going to come to communion now, and as we do, we're going to sing